Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great. Part 2, Chapter 8. That the ruler should not set his heart on pleasing men, and yet should give heed to what ought to please them. Meanwhile, it is also necessary for the ruler to keep wary watch, lest the lust of pleasing men assail him. Lest when he studiously penetrates the things that are within, and providently supplies the things that are without, he seek to be beloved of those that are under him more than truth. Lest while supported by his good deeds he seems not to belong to the world, self-love estrange him from his Maker. For he is the Redeemer's enemy, who through the good works which he does covets being loved by the church instead of by him. Since a servant whom the bridegroom has sent with gifts to the bride is guilty of treacherous thought if he desires to please the eyes of the bride. And in truth, this self-love, when it has got possession of a ruler's mind, sometimes carries it away inordinately to softness, but sometimes to roughness. For from love of himself the ruler's mind is inclined to softness, because when he observes those that are under him sinning, he does not presume to reprove them, lest their affection for himself should grow dull. Nay, sometimes he smooths down with flatteries the offense of his subordinates, which he ought to have rebuked. Hence it is well said through the prophet, "Woe unto them that sow cushions under every elbow, and make pillows under the head of every stature, to catch souls." Inasmuch as to put cushions under every elbow is to cherish with blind flatteries souls that are falling from their uprightness and reclining themselves in this world's enjoyment. For it is as though the elbow of a recumbent person rested on a cushion and his head on pillows. When the hardness of reproof is withdrawn from one who sins, and when the softness of favor is offered to him, that he may lie softly in error, while no roughness of contradiction troubles him. But so rulers who love themselves undoubtedly show themselves to those by whom they fear they may be injured in their pursuit of temporal glory. Such indeed as they see to have no power against them, they ever keep down with roughness of rigid censure, never admonish them gently, but forgetful of pastoral kindness, terrify them with the rites of domination. Such the divine voice rightly upbraids through the prophet, saying, "But with austerity and power did ye rule them." For loving themselves more than their Maker, they lift up themselves haughtily towards those that are under them, considering not what they ought to do, but what they can do. They have no fear of future judgment. They glory insolently in temporal power. It pleases them to be free to do even unlawful things, and that no one among their subordinates should contradict them. He, then, who sets his mind on doing wrong things, and yet wishes all other men to hold their peace about them, is himself a witness to himself that he desires to be loved himself more than the truth, which he is unwilling should be defended against him. There is indeed no one who so lives as not to some extent to fail in duty. He, then, desires the truth to be loved more fully than himself, who wishes to be spared by no one against the truth. For hence Peter willingly accepted Paul's rebuke. Hence David humbly listened to the reproof of his subject. Because good rulers, being themselves unconscious of loving with partial affection, believe the word of free sincerity from subjects to be the homage of humility. But meanwhile, it is necessary that the care of government be tempered with so great skill of management that the mind of subjects, when it has become able to feel rightly on some subjects, should so advance to liberty of speech that liberty still not break out into pride, lest while liberty of the tongue is perchance conceded to them overmuch, the humility of their life be lost. It is to be borne in mind also that it is right for good rulers to desire to please men, but this in order to draw their neighbors by the sweetness of their own character to affection for the truth, not that they should long to be themselves loved, but should make affection for themselves as a sort of road by which to lead the hearts of their hearers to the love of the Creator. For it is indeed difficult for a preacher who is not loved, however well he may preach, to be willingly listened to. He then who is over others ought to study to be loved, to the end that he may be listened to, and still not seek love for its own sake, lest he be found in the hidden usurpation of his thought, to rebel against him whom in his office he appears to serve. Which thing Paul insinuates well, when manifesting the secret of his affection for us, he says, "Even as I please men in all things." And yet he says again, "If I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Thus Paul pleases and pleases not. Because in that he desires to please, he seeks not that he himself should please men, but truth through him. Chapter 9. That the ruler ought to be careful to understand how commonly vices pass themselves off as virtues. The ruler ought to understand also how vices commonly pass themselves off as virtues. For often miserliness palliates itself under the name of frugality, and on the other hand, prodigality hides itself under the appellation of generosity. Often inordinate laxity is believed to be loving kindness, and unbridled wrath is accounted the virtue of spiritual zeal. Often precipitate action is taken for the efficacy of promptness, and tardiness for the deliberation of seriousness. Whence it is necessary for the ruler of souls to distinguish with vigilant care between virtues and vices, lest either miserliness get possession of his heart while he exults in seeming frugal in expenditure, or while anything is prodigally wasted, he glory in being, as it were, compassionately generous, or in remitting what he ought to have cracked down upon, he draw on those that are under him to eternal punishment, or in mercilessly cracking down on an offense, he himself offend more grievously, or, by immaturely anticipating, mar what might have been done properly and gravely, or, by putting off the merit of a good action, change it to something worse. End of chapter 9.